I'm not satisfied. And I'll tell you what, that's what separates people. People who are satisfied, living in iniquity, are not meant for eternity. If you can be satisfied living in iniquity, your chances of inheriting eternal life are slim indeed. Something has to change. You got to have an attitude change. If you're content as you are, and you are not yet perfect, because I tell you what, I'm not content. He's given me a lot of things to be content in. I mean, I'm thankful he delivered me from alcohol. I'm thankful he delivered me from drugs, and so on and so on, because there's been more than that I've been delivered from. But I'm not content until I see it all swallowed up. I want to drive all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan out. And the land of Canaan is me. I want to drive all the wicked inhabitants of my land out of it. And God has given me a promise that he will be with me to defend me, to put the weapons in my hand that will enable me to drive them out. But we have to be willing to go. We have to be believing God that he will help us. And I don't care if it's, you know, you think you take the land and then Goliath, you're looking hundreds of years down the road and Goliath is striding up and down, right? In the midst of the people, there's another giant. You know, we thought we drove them all out, but there were still sons of the giant wandering around. You know, sometimes for the multitude of sins, little ones escape our notice. And we don't realize just how full of sin we are. And we are sometimes more full than we realize. And so we do not, as others do, give up. We don't lose, that sense of that we have something to do. And that is to obtain those promises. So let's keep our faith. To me, that's so simple. The word preached. He came. You know, what shall we do? I'm not going to go to Acts, but you know, he came to turn you from your iniquity. That's the blessing. And I'm thinking, as I say that, I'm like, do people understand what I'm talking about? It's Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Unto you first, speaking to the Jews there, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's what Jesus came to bless us in. Yes, also he came to take away our guilt of from our sins. Hey, we can't do anything about the sins that are past. We can't change that. Christ, his blood, is for the remission of past sins. It says so in the book of Romans. Past sins are what Jesus' blood takes care of. And yes, I know that current sins become past sins. I know that. And that future sins someday could be past sins. But the thing is, he also came that we wouldn't have more sin in our future. That we would not have sin in our present. He came to turn us away from sin and iniquity. Not merely, you know, like he said, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. John chapter 8. And the servant does not abide in the house forever. If you serve sin, you will not inherit eternal life. Read Galatians 5. You know, he lists all these sins and he says, I'm telling you, as I've told you before, whoever does these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to inherit the kingdom of God, we can't be the doers of those things. What does he say? He says, servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If he can make you a son of God, and he can, and if he's willing, and he is, if you are his chosen. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And he didn't say, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free theoretically. Because that's the kind of freedom that they preach. When they preach only imputation of righteousness. That righteousness is only imputed, meaning it is only, God looks at you like he looks at you, and he doesn't see you drunk. He sees Jesus being righteous. Because when he looks at you, all he sees is the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see you doing murder. No, he sees Jesus being righteous. You know, and that's the sort of idea, that imputation, that's what it means, that he imputes it to you based on your faith. But of course, faith goes from faith to faith. And the way it's supposed to work is you have faith and you go on to bigger and better things. You go on to righteousness and godliness. Your life improves. There is progress. It is a race. The race, you don't go in a race, enter the race, walk to the starting line, and then get handed your reward. You actually run the race. And any sort of salvation where they basically get you to the starting line and then they try to hand you a reward, you know, this is not the Special Olympics. And even at the Special Olympics, they all run. You know? They get out there and run. They don't just, they let them do things. God's the same way. We do things. Not to earn his favor, but as a result of his favor. His favor enables us to obtain things that man cannot obtain. Maybe a man could get away from alcohol, sure. Maybe, but to do all these things in one man, to escape from all manner of iniquity, it is the work of God. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It's back to Psalm 95 again. Listen to that, though. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. All the works of God were finished. Whether we would enter into the rest, whether all these things from God's perspective are finished. From our perspective, it's all an open question. And that's when I try to teach predestination to people, they mix the two. They confuse God's perspective with their own perspective. So when I tell them that everything is determined ahead of time by God, they say, well, what's the point of doing anything? Why even try to persuade anybody? Because it's already determined. Well, part of God's determination could be that he'd put a spirit in me to try to persuade you.